I to delight in my children. I want to walk in the garden with my children. May you take my hand. May we walk and talk one to one. May we visit together in the cool of the day.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We have to learn how to walk into the Holy of Holies, where the Lord wants to walk with us hand to hand. He wants to walk hand in hand with us in the holiest of holies. We just simply enter in by faith. We sing about it, but we just simply enter in by faith and we say, Lord, I am ready to enter into the Holy of Holies. And I come because I have an open invitation. And I can come anytime.
While we were worshiping, I kept hearing the word holiness. And then I kept hearing turn, turn, turn. And then the Lord says, holiness requires turning to me. He has commanded us to be holy, for he is holy. It is in turning to him that we find rest. We have turned each and every one of us to our own ways, to our own thoughts, to our own accomplishments. But when we realize that his way is the only way, and we turn from looking at the world's way or looking at our way, and we lift our faces and look into his son, into his face, who said to us, I am the way and the truth and the life. It is in turning to him, to his face, to look up to where our help comes from, to stop looking to the world, to stop looking to ourselves, but to look to the only way that we find our way, that our paths are set straight, that we return to the way of the eternal. For we are to be holy as he is holy. Let us turn the only true way. For his work within us is righteousness, and he has set us on that path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that work of righteousness is peace, quiet resting. And there we will have quietness and assurance forever.
Amen. Hallelujah. I think we ought to just take a moment here and just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for showing us. Thank you for speaking to us. Where you go, we'll follow you, Lord. Where you go, we'll follow you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you keep teaching us and showing us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, your word is going to go forth today. Your word is going to go forth just like you sent your word and you healed. You sent your word and you healed him, Father. And it's going to bring change. And it's going to bring restoration. It's going to bring change. But it'll be change for the better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Chris, I need the first slide on. There's a PowerPoint on that flash drive. I just need the first slide put up there for me, please. Last week we talked about Psalm 27, and we talked about a relationship crisis. And one of the things in 2011, if you'll just bring those different points up there for me, Chris. In 2011, this is what I showed at the very beginning of the year with this slide. And one of the things was individual intimacy with the Lord. And that's what I sense the Lord really spoke about. And one of the other things was restoration. And I started out with restoration. And we're going to get back to that. But actually, we're in it right now. And I was asking the Lord about that here this week, about the restoration for 2011. And he said, you don't realize I've already been working restoration in your life and in other people's lives, because the biggest inheritance that a believer could ever have is that individual intimacy with the Lord. And when that is restored, that intimacy with Him, you're going to see everything else start to fall in place. And back in the Old Testament, when they were there in the wilderness, there was a relationship crisis. There was an intimacy crisis that they were going through. I told you last time that only two people out of all those people that came out of Egypt, or out of all the people that came out of Egypt, only two made it into the promised land of that original generation. It wasn't that Moses was a bad leader. It was just the people didn't want to spend time with the Lord, and he desired for them to spend time with him. So if you look at a million people that came out of Egypt and only two made it, that's not very good statistics, is it? Then we talked about Psalm 27, where David went in and he said, I desire only one thing, and that's to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And when he would go there, the Lord would speak to him and he'd tell him how to run the battle. And David always won. When he'd go to the Lord, and he won the battle. In Hebrews 3:10, God said, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Well, the reason they always erred was because they never spent time with him. They refused to spend time with the creator of the universe. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't spend time with God, if you don't spend time with him, you're going to err just like those people erred. It said in 1 Corinthians 10, I believe chapter 10 or 9, it said those things were written for an example to us so that we should not follow after their ways. So they erred because they didn't know God's ways. They saw his acts or his miracles, but they did not really know God. And when they were invited to fellowship with him, they turned it down and they said, Moses, you talk to God for us. So, that led us to their idea of what God looked like. Because they didn't spend time with the God, they came up with this molten calf. And I've got one right here. Can everyone see that? That was their idea of God. That was their reality of God. Give me that thing. This was their reality. That's who they saw God as. Steady. Steady. In Exodus 32:4 it says, and he received them at their hand, well, I believe it was Aaron, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So they looked at this and they made this thing. That's God. That's God. Now I want to show you something, why that intimacy is so important. Because when they failed to have intimacy with God, that's what they came up with. That's what they came up with. And they said, that is God. Now look what happened. Go with me to Psalm 106. And you'll understand this. And I saw this, and I thought, Lord, this is the number one thing that a believer must do is spend time with God. Psalm 106. Verse 19. Everyone there to Psalm 106, verse 19. It says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that ate grass. Did you hear what it said? They changed their glory. When they made this thing, they changed their glory. When they made this calf, they changed their glory into something that looked like this. Read what it says. In verse 20, they changed their glory. In other words, what that's saying is, they changed their idea of themselves even. That word glory is like a reputation. It would be like me saying, instead of being a man, now I'm a dog. That's what they did. When they made this and they saw God as this molten image, they changed their glory. And you can read about it in Romans chapter 1, where they made God into an image because they weren't thankful. Because when they knew God, it said they weren't thankful. And they changed the image of God into a corruptible four-footed beast. And then look what happens afterwards. Their thinking was changed. Their thinking about themselves was changed, so that said they gave themselves over to uncleanness. When they made this image and they didn't know God, they changed their glory. They changed their reputation. They changed what they thought of themselves because they didn't spend time with God. In Hebrews 3:10 it says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always, not sometimes, it says, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. In Exodus 20:18 it said, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And I went over that
a few weeks ago about that. Why they stood afar off? Because they were afraid to go to God. And God wanted to meet them, but they didn't want to. And they said, Moses, you talk to God for us. You do it for us. And they worshiped in their tent door. And they didn't want to go to God. In verse 19 it said, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, and you sin not. And then in Hebrews 4:1 it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And then this morning we heard about unbelief. And I think that's something that the Lord has really been trying to work in his people about unbelief. Because you got to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then God will start showing you who he really is, and he's not this. But those people had such a bad impression of who God was that when he told them to enter into the promised land, they couldn't do it because they thought of themselves as this one thing. And I'll read it to you. In Numbers 13:33, and I'm going to show you what they thought of themselves. This is what they thought of God. Now I'm going to show you what they thought of themselves. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So what did they see themselves as? Grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers because they saw God like this. And then they saw themselves like this. You see that grasshopper? Everyone see the grasshopper? I got another grasshopper here somewhere. Here's another one. I think that one's from Bug's Life, but I'm not sure. But that's who they saw themselves as a grasshopper. Put my grasshoppers out here. They are nasty. Grasshoppers are nasty. So we'll just do that. I love doing that. But you see how they saw themselves. And the reason they saw themselves like that is because they never spent any time with God. And I don't care how many times you try to tell a person, this is who you are in Christ. Until they go to God. Until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them and says, here, let me take you to a place, a secret place of the Most High. Until the Holy Ghost takes you there, you'll never figure this out on your own. That was the secret to David's success, was going to God. He said, one thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may inquire in his temple and behold the beauty of the Lord. And he would go there, he'd go to that secret place. But why are we so hesitant to go when we have an open invitation in Hebrews 4:16? And it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. And he keeps inviting us, and we have this open invitation that we may obtain mercy and grace to help us in the time of need. Don't be discouraged. Don't minister to that discouragement. Go to God. And he says, I'm waiting for you. And he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. I have an open invitation. Anytime, any place, I can go there. But some are fainting in their minds because of all the things that are going on. In Hebrews 12:3, it talks about fainting in your minds. Now, Hebrews 12:1, let's go there. And I'll show you how to... We're going to go. We are going to go into the Holy of Holies. And God wants us to go there. Listen to me. You're never going to get answers running around someplace else until you go to God. Because in 1 John 1:3 it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Truly our fellowship is there. And I'm going to tell you, our fellowship is with Him. And when we go into that throne of grace, that is where our fellowship is at. Hebrews 12:1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I was talking to Kathy about this earlier in the week, and I said, Kathy, look at this. God doesn't want us to walk. He wants us to run. He wants us to run. And she calls me back and she says, you know what that word race is translated to? And I said, what are they translated to in the Greek, Kathy? And she said it means a stadium or an assembly. So we're to run to that assembly. And where is that assembly at? It's in the throne room. It's in the heavens. It's a place of assembly. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, what's my joy? What's our joy that's set before us? Well, let me go and tell you what the joy that was set before Jesus. He could endure the cross and he could endure all these things because of this joy that was set before him. And I'm going to tell you what it was or what it is. Jesus is the mediator of that sanctuary. That was the joy he was looking for in Hebrews 9:15. That's why he could endure the cross. He looked at this. Hebrews 9:15. He said, and for this cause is the mediator. Who's the mediator? Jesus. Of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus is the mediator. He's the high priest. All through Hebrews, it calls him the high priest of our confession. And he's the high priest, and he's waiting for us to come there. Why did it say in Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens. And then it goes on to tell us to come boldly before the throne of grace. The joy that was set before him, he was waiting to disperse our inheritance. That was the joy because we're joint heirs with Christ. You can't go to California and find your inheritance. It's not there. I'm telling you, it's not there. It's not down in southern Indiana. It's not northern Indiana. Your inheritance is right there in the throne room. Why are you looking to someplace else? When he says our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. If I told you, I said, look, sorry about that. If I told you there's $100 in that room for each one of you, you go in that room and get it. Right? You wouldn't go in that other room over there, would you? Well, he's saying here, there's a place of assembly. There's a place of an assembly. It's in the throne room. And that's where your inheritance is because he's the mediator. Jesus Christ is the mediator. And he looked forward to that joy of sharing that inheritance, being a joint heir with Christ. And he looked forward to that and he said, There's coming a time when I can be the mediator, when I can give them their inheritance. And he looked forward to that with great joy. And then we're supposed to look forward to that. He says we're supposed to run there. Because we got this cloud of witnesses. And he said, hey, look, it's over here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Isn't that what Jacob did in Genesis 28? When he put his head on the pillow, when he put his head on a stone, he was looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. And he made the inheritance. And he made a connection, and he said, surely this place is called the house of God. Then in verse 3 it says, for consider him. Consider who? Consider Jesus. And then it says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know why people faint in their minds? Is because they don't go there. And escape all this stuff that's coming at them. How many times do you need an invitation to go? There was great discouragement I sensed this week in the body of Christ. But the answer was right there. The answer was right there. Your answer, your solution for the problem was right there in the Holy of Holies. It was right there with fellowship with the Father and with the Son. My joy, your joy, is to look to Jesus and to follow him. That's why blind Bartimaeus said he followed Jesus. Where'd he follow him to? He had to follow him somewhere. See, when you don't follow Jesus, you get this idea that he looks like this. When you don't spend time with him, you get the idea this is what God looks like. And then you get this idea that you look like this. Like this. Do you see? God has set us up for a time as this, I believe. I look back in 2009. Some of you don't remember this, but in 2009 I always asked the Lord, well, what should we do for that year? And he said, seek God daily. He's setting us up for this. Because this time we need to be, not that we didn't before, but we need to spend some time with the Lord. Being diligent with our time with him. Being serious about it. There is nothing more important than seeking time with him. Come on, there's nothing more. Your appointments, I don't care what it is. There's nothing more important than spending time with the Lord. And I saw that in 2009, that I said, Lord, you've set us up for 2011. Because now you're causing your people. And what I'm hearing is God wants his people to trust him in all things. And we say, well, I've done that before. Just this last week, I was talking to Miss Dorothy and I told her, I am so sick and tired of doing things on my own. I am so sick and tired of doing things on my own. And I was asking the Lord about something. And he said, go and do what I've taught you to do. And spend time with me. And go and come into me in the throne room. And get in direction from me. And he said, then you'll find your rest. You'll find the way I want you to do it. And you'll enter that rest and cease from your own labors. You know, it takes practice. I found that it really takes practice and a conscious effort to say, Lord, you know, I'm not quite sure about this. What do you want me to do? Lord, I come by faith before the throne of grace. And did you know that it says in Hebrews 12, When we go to the throne room of grace in Hebrews 4:16, it says that we will find what? Mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Let us have grace. We received a kingdom that cannot be moved, and it says, let us have grace. Well, wait a minute here. And I'm going to tell you what it says. It says that we can't serve God acceptably if we don't get that grace. Right? Isn't that what that says? That we cannot serve God acceptably if we don't get that grace. Well, where do you get it at? Spending time with Him. Spending time with Him there in the throne room. Right? He's given me an open invitation. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I said, Lord, I can't even serve you acceptably if I don't come to the throne room. Because you want to give me that grace to do what you want me to do. Because it's not really about me laboring. It's about the grace of God in me that does the work. God wants to talk with you. And I'm going to say it. He wants to talk with you face to face. He wants to talk to you. Because He talked to Moses face to face in Hebrews chapter 8. It says that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. We have much better promises and we have a better covenant than what He did. Because Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. He's that joy that's set before us. And He's right there. Look at where He's at. Where's He at? It says He's at the right hand of the throne of God. That word look means to actually see and fix your eyes on Him. So fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Where at? At the right hand of the throne of God. And in Ephesians 2:6 it says that we've been seated there with Him. We're in that stadium there with Him. Or that assembly there with Him, so we can hear what the Father is saying. The Holy Ghost is revealing it. He's giving us some revelation, and He's letting you hear what the Father's saying. Why is it so strange that we can hear someone else and that we can't hear God Himself speak to us? Why is that strange? Why is there unbelief? And well, God doesn't speak with us like that today. Show me in the Word where it says that. That God doesn't speak to us face to face. Show me where He doesn't want to have fellowship with us. God is moving His people in this time. And I believe this is such a crucial time that we live in. That He wants His people to have that intimate fellowship with Him. And it's by faith. I go there by faith. I go there by faith and I fellowship with the Father and with the Son. The Holy Ghost is giving me revelation of the words that the Father is speaking. You know, they didn't want to listen to God speak from the mount. And listen to what it says in Hebrews 12:19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Talk about a hard heart. Those people in the Old Testament didn't want the word spoken to them anymore. And then it goes on to say, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. When God spoke, they were scared. They were scared. But then it goes on to say in verse 12:24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh." What'd the word just say? Don't refuse God when he speaks. Right? "For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And I'll tell you what, God is shaking some things. He's shaking how I used to go do things. And I'll tell you, when he shook it, it fell apart. It fell apart. And I said, "Lord, oh, I am never going to refuse you to listen to you, to come to you." I don't want to be like this grasshopper. It's got big eyes. And it's green. Come on, do y'all see that? What happened to the what they were written for our examples? You see what happened to them when they didn't spend time with the Lord and they refused to have an intimate relationship with him? But God was restoring to, he was trying to restore to them. Look at what he was trying to restore to them. They were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And it said that they cried because of the hard bondage on them. They cried out. But then God said, "Okay, if you come out, I'll take you out of here. But you can come in this wilderness area to serve me. To fellowship with me, and I'll talk to you." And then he says, "And then I'm going to give you this land that's flowing with milk and honey. And I'm going to restore everything that you didn't have in Egypt. But first I'm going to restore my relationship with you." And then it was like he wanted to make everything easy. "Here, I got a land for you that's flowing with milk and honey. But only two out of the original group that went made it." Because they said they all died in unbelief. And they refused to spend time with God. And that's what bred the unbelief. Because they certainly didn't know what God was like. This is what they made. Their actions proved what was in their heart. Their actions proved what was in their heart. And then they confessed it. And then finally the Lord said, "You know what? It's going to be according to what they've spoken. They will all die. Surely as I live, they shall not enter into my rest. And they shall all die in the wilderness." So you see why it's important to have that relationship. And God's calling his people. I hear it over and over and over. He's calling his people. And he's given us the open invitation. Come. Come boldly before the throne of grace so that you may obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. To get help. To get help. But you can only do it with a relationship with God. And I'm talking about a very intimate relationship with him. I'm talking about where you're seeking him more than anything, more than your own physical food. I'm talking about he's the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning. And he's even on your mind when you're asleep. I'm talking about when you're driving along and you're looking in your rearview mirror and it comes up in your spirit, "Only mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's Psalm 23. And then when something comes up, One thing, the only thing that I desire, Lord, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to inquire in your temple and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Don't change. Don't change because you have a wrong image of God. Don't change what you look like. Because God, let me tell you something. We all were created in God's image and His likeness. That's what the Bible tells us. You see, I'm going to tell you something. If the world would gather and understand who God really is, and they would know God, you see, there would not be any such thing as ethnic group against ethnic group. And you know, it talks about that in Matthew 24. This ethnic group hates this ethnic group. They would realize that if they knew God, they would know who they are and not a grasshopper. They would know that they were created in the image and likeness of God. And they would know that they were to function like God. And they were to love like God. See, you wouldn't have these race wars. You wouldn't have that. Because if they really knew God, then they'd see themselves very differently. Hallelujah. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. More than anything, God wants us to have a relationship with Him. That's the joy that's set before me. That's the joy that's set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Where at? At the right hand of the throne of God. And it's like, Lord, I can go there. I can go there because my fellowship is with you and the Father. It's not in some obscure place. He even told us where it's at. Now, last weekend, I'll mention this real quickly. I talked about three things about pursuing God. Get in your Word and say, God, this is what I want. I desire your Word more than anything. And I'll tell you what. The Holy Ghost will start speaking to you. The Holy Ghost will start speaking to you. Boy, there's a lot of thoughts going up right now. There's a lot of thinking about things right now. In Psalm 91, when we call upon God, when does He answer? Right now. He says, when you call upon me, I will answer you. In Psalm 91, let me turn to it. I just went by memory. Let me go there. I'll read this here to you. 91:14. Psalm 91:14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. See, that's a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I won't answer him next week. I won't answer him next month. But when he calls upon me, I will answer him. Tell me you don't hear from God. That's because you don't spend time with him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that just doesn't mean the fire insurance from hell. There's more to it than that. So God answers us when? Right now. Right now. Right now. We're just not listening. In Jeremiah 29:12, it says, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And that's passion. The proof of passion is pursuit. Go after God, pursue His Word. When you pursue His Word, you're pursuing God, because in John chapter 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. When you pursue the Word, you've got a passion for God. Then there was the purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And he talked about blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus. And then there was the third thing, obedience. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In other words, I'll show myself to him. You want to see Jesus? Manifest means to show openly. It has nothing to do about being perfect or waiting to get cleaned up somehow. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we got to pursue Jesus. We got to look to Jesus. We got to look at that joy that was set before us. And you'll see Him openly. See, you get this religious mindset that, well, when I die, yeah, I'll see Jesus when I die. But that's not what he's talking about here. I just saw him this morning. I just saw him a little bit ago when I read his word. I just saw him. And I seen what he looked like. Because he said in Psalm 91, he said he set his love upon me. I just saw what he looked like. He didn't look like this. Thank God he didn't look like that. But I just saw him. And I just heard him. Did you hear him when he said, I said his love? Did you hear him say that? Did you hear him say that to you? I set my love upon you. And did you hear him say, when you call, I'll answer you? Did you hear him say that? I just heard it. So when I call, he's going to answer me, because I have an intimacy with him. And then, in John 16:13, it talks about the Holy Ghost. And he said he'll show you things to come. If you want to see what's going to happen, spend some time with him. Spend some time with him. Hallelujah. Seek God daily. Seek God daily. Yes. It's exciting to seek him daily. And I'll tell you what, I'm so tired of doing things on my own. I was so sick of it. I told Dorothy, I'm just absolutely sick of it. I can't stand it anymore. I don't know why I didn't do this to begin with. Where have I been all my life? Do you know what kind of burden that takes off of you? It's not that I... But there was just some things that I just was like, well, that looks good. I'll just go ahead and do that. Well, this is how God's going to do it, so I'll help him out here. And we'll just make this work right over here just like this. And I'll tell you what, it got all messed up and it got all messed up. I'll just say that. The Bible says not to get entangled again with the affairs of this world. And I got entangled with some things. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I do this? I need this burden, you know, because I got a bait caster. And when you throw those bait casters, if you don't know how to throw them right, it gets this bird's nest in it, multiple ones at times. So I looked at that. And the Lord, he said, I'll help you. You do the simplest one first. Take the one that is simple. And then he goes, I'll help you with it. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I repent for not listening to you. I repent for not listening to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to spend time with the Lord. Amen? Amen. And I know you have been. And God set us up for this time in 2011. Because in 2009, he spoke to us and he said, seek me daily. Seek me daily. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, there's just times where light just goes off in you. Well, this is one of those times. Light just went off in me and it's like, I messed some of these things all up totally. Hallelujah. But he's taking it and bringing restoration. Hallelujah. He's bringing restoration. He's bringing restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter, would you come up here for me, please?
Right now, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know the Lord or has known the Lord at some point in time but has simply fallen away, I'd like to take this opportunity right now to ask you to come up here and we'll pray for you. If you want a relationship with God, just come up here and we'll pray for you because God wants a relationship with you. You don't have to be afraid. We're not going to judge you. Just come up here. Take this opportunity. This is the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you. The Bible says that all the angels in heaven rejoice at the coming of one person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So take this opportunity. And we're not asking you to join this church or anything, but just come up here. Don't let this opportunity slip by, because God wants to have that relationship with you. Is there anyone in here? Anyone at all? If you're not completely sure, if you have that little bit of doubt, if you're just not 100% sure, come up here and we'll fix that. We'll give you that full assurance and bring you to a saving relationship in Christ Jesus. Anyone at all? Praise God.
Hallelujah. Anyone need prayer this morning before I close? I see that hand. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Yes, I see those hands. Hallelujah. But we know where to get the answer, right? Now we're going to practice it. Father, we come boldly before the throne of grace. And I want you to listen. Because when we call, he'll answer. Amen? Father, we just come and I agree with those that raise their hands. That you'll speak to them in their inner man that's born again, Father. I thank you for that. You'll speak to them. Every need that they have, every need, you'll speak to them on how to go about solving that situation, Father. I thank you, Father, because the one thing they desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of their life. To inquire in your temple, Father, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that divine guidance and divine direction. You'll give them divine utterance in Jesus' name. And they'll know the answer. They'll know the answer. They have the answer in Jesus' name. Father, we believe. We thank you for that answer in Jesus' name. We thank you for that divine touch in the name of Jesus. Touch in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.